We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's time for the John Chuckery Show.
Are you ready?
Sports talk of the ATL. It's not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
No. You insulted him a little bit. A little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Call or text John now at 404-741-0929. Live from the Kia Studios, it's John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome in on a dreary Saturday morning. Supposed to get like worse and worse as the weekend goes along with the weather too. Rain and cold fronts and everything coming in. But we'll try to raise your spirits and keep the mood going for you here. Hanging out with you till 11:45, but today we're going to get you into some college basketball a little bit later on. Wisconsin and Michigan taking place. 11:45 pregame, 12 o'clock tip-off. So start to get into some heavy college basketball action, conference play, heavy and on the way. Hey, don't forget, too, that we are your home of all of the conference title games right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 2 o'clock pregame, 3:05 kickoff tomorrow will be Rams, obviously, at the Saints. AFC championship game will be Patriots at the Chiefs, 6:15 pregame, 6:40 kickoff. Don't forget, you can download your radio.com app. You can go to 929thegame.com. Either way, make sure you've got your source for listening to this on the go as we get you moving around. All of our social media, it's at 929thegame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Grindr, Tinder, Bumble, Farmers Love, whatever's out there for you, Fish, whatever's out there for you, eHarmony. We've got it all for you at 929 The Game. I am on Twitter at JMCH316. A couple of folks that are going to join us today on the show. Coming up next at 920, Jason Cole, editor-in-chief for fansided.com. We'll talk to him about the two conference title games in the NFL. And D-Led going to join us over under on FaceStyles 4. On the FaceStyles 4, sound about right? So D-Led will join us at 1020 as a few things going on with the Falcons, obviously the Tack McKinley story as well. So we start off, unfortunately, on a dreary weather day. I do want to start off, and it's not good news, but I do want to say we lost a member of the 92.9 family. So for those of you that are really old school listeners and original listeners of the station, one of the guys that was one of the producers on the overnight show for Mitch Evans was Roger Ingram, and Roger was, I think, originally from Arizona area and got his way into the East Coast and was a late-night producer. And Roger, we lost Roger yesterday, too young. I was 31, 32 years old is what he was. So had been having some health issues, and everything finally kind of caught up with him. But I've said very often, Brian, that Roger and Wendy Adams were the two people that really were good about working with me, because I'd never done any kind of full-time or regular radio or done anything on my own or any sort of thing like that. So Roger especially was, and I joked on Twitter, I can still hear Roger yelling at me about reset, reset, reset. He was always yelling in my ear about reset and stuff like that. So, yeah, it was just terrible news. Too young of a guy, but certainly was a staple of the early days of the station.
Yeah, really sad to hear. He's someone I never got a chance to know, but just being here yesterday when everyone kind of found out, you could tell how much of an impact he had on everybody. Yeah. I mean, the guys that have been here since the beginning were pretty banged up, pretty sad about it. So, yeah, prayers to his family. That's really upsetting.
Yeah, prayers to his family, and I know the good Lord's got him up home and, took away his pain. I know he'd been having a lot of health issues and stuff, so just just terrible situation, but always loved Roger. He was such a great influence, and he was a real radio kind of guy. You know, he was a guy, that young guy, but very much radio all in his blood. So we will miss Roger greatly. So miss interacting with him on Twitter. So otherwise, as we said, NFL conference title games taking place tomorrow. And you know how bad as the reality is coming closer and closer to the idea of the Saints. Because I think a lot of people really were obviously rooting here in Atlanta. I think we all were, that the Eagles would find a way to win that game. And they get up 14-0, and you think everything's rolling along, and everything seems to look good, and then the Saints find a way to come back. And you know, I've said, they're just not losing in that building. There's some kind of mojo that they have that they're just not going to lose in that place. And I think it's, you know, obviously they played the Rams earlier this year and beat them earlier this year in what was a great game, one of the better games of the season. But it's going to be really hard to bet against New Orleans in that environment, in that crowd, and, you know, considering what they were able to do last week in coming back. And that becomes the reality of what the Super Bowl could be. And, of course, this is the early game in the NFC. So it's not like it's late at night and going to kind of wrap things up. You're going to get a chance to kind of stew on it as you watch the AFC title game. And the reality of 2 weeks of that group of people and those folks and that city coming in here for a couple of weeks. See, the Patriots thing doesn't bother me because the Patriots go to every Super Bowl. Like that. Like, with all due respect, it's not that we lost to the Patriots. It's how we lost to the Patriots. There's no natural rivalry with the Patriots. There's no ill will with the Patriots. Patriots beat everybody in the Super Bowl. Yeah, I know they didn't beat Philadelphia. This is the 13th time. Imagine that as a Falcons fan. 13 times the Patriots have played now in this era for a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Could you imagine having 13 conference title games for the Falcons to get to the Super Bowl? And they've already been to, how many Super Bowls in total for the Patriots? Is it 8 total for the Patriots? Because Brady's got 7, and then they went in 86. Obviously, they were the sacrificial lamb to the Bears. The Tony Eason quit in that game, and Steve Grogan, unfortunately, had to come in with his big neck. I think he still had the big neck brace on when he came in. But just think about the level of success. So the whole Patriot, I mean, people said, oh, man, the worst-case scenario is Patriots and Saints. The AFC shouldn't really matter to you as a Falcons fan. It's the fact that New Orleans, that they're going to get their second Super Bowl opportunity, that group is going to come in. And I will tell you, every bit of, whether it's Patriots or Chiefs, that they're a definite threat to win the whole thing. It's not like they're going to come in as some huge underdog, some 2-touchdown underdog. You know, this isn't, you know, like the Patriots and Rams, you know, the greatest show on turf when, I think, what, Tom Brady in his first Super Bowl was like a 12-point underdog or something like that to the Rams. So this isn't going to be one of those kinds of situations. It's going to be a pretty evenly matched group, whether no matter what team comes out of the AFC, if it's Saints. I think it's that way, too, if it's the Rams, because you have, what, the 4 highest-scoring teams or something in the league that are left in the conference title games. But just think about 2 weeks of seeing all of the colors of the Saints and the garb and everything for a couple of weeks going into this. It's going to be a hard pill to swallow for Saints and Saints fans to come here and be part of all of this. So we'll see if the Rams can get it done. You know, I have my doubts. We're going to talk to Jason Cole in the next segment. We'll get his thoughts on it. But, man, it's just, think about what we were kind of hoping for as Falcons fans when this whole process of the Falcons have the Super Bowl and kind of where we're at with the franchise, and we can become the first team to win a Super Bowl on its home field and all this kind of stuff. And you think about the way the season went for the Falcons and what's going on for the Saints, and now here they are knocking on the door of being here, being the team that's going to be here to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. It really is kind of a bummer. I mean, it would be just kind of, at this point, the coup de grace of what has been a very underwhelming football season all the way around, from college to NFL, and certainly with the Falcons leading the way, being below 500 and not even making the playoffs this year. Not even having an opportunity to, who knows, maybe have gotten a chance to play the Saints and knock them out of the playoffs. So, I don't know. You know, I've been thinking about that this week as you're getting really close to the game now, that it's not going to be a fun time to have to put up with two, because you know they're amped up and ready. Like, they're going to come here. I mean, you get a lot of Saints fans anyway that travel when these rivals. And Falcons fans go down there as well. I mean, why not? And it's not a hard – I've made that drive before. It's not that hard to get back and forth. Now, I did joke on Twitter, Brian, that if they do come here, you know, there won't be any dishwasher boxes available for, you know, because they'll be staying in all of them. And, you know, we'll have to hose down the streets every night. You know, we're not used to that, so we're going to need the fire departments to contribute some more hoses and stuff. So we're not used to all of that, but, you know, if they come here, we'll have to figure all of that that kind of stuff out. So we will see. It will be very interesting tomorrow. I know everybody in Atlanta is pretty much a Rams fan at this point. And the Rams are a good story. I mean, great young coach, obviously a really up-and-coming team. You know, they've kind of really turned things around from being one of the worst franchises in the NFL. Obviously, Todd Gurley, a big tie-in locally here for fans to have a guy like that on there kind of leading the way. So it's not really – it's not necessarily hard to root for the Rams. It's not like there's a real reason to root against the Rams. Somebody's talking about they were an old NFC West rival. God, that's been so long ago. Like, how many people really even remember that the Falcons were an NFC West team when it was the 49ers and Rams and who else was in that? I don't even remember. I don't even remember who the other team was in the division at that point when it was the old NFC West. That's how far back you got to go to get to that. So there's no angst with the Rams, and obviously with Todd Gurley, it makes a huge difference out there. So we'll have all the games for you right here on 92.9. So if it doesn't go well in the first game, you can listen into the AFC title game and root for whatever team you think has the best chance to beat the New Orleans Saints. So we shall see. Should be good stuff. We'll get into some Braves talk a little bit later on today as well. Don't forget, too, we've got Hawks action later on tonight, 7 o'clock tip-off. 7:30 pregame, Hawks at home against the Boston Celtics. Mike Conte on the pregame, Steve Holman on the call for you. Hawks, how did they beat Oklahoma City by like 25 the other night or something ridiculous?
You know, I was actually at that game, really impressed with the crowd. I mean, the crowd was so into the game, and you're just sitting there and you're kind of just waiting on the Thunder to make that run, and they never did it. I mean, everybody chipped in. All the young guys played exceptionally well.
Well, you got to give them credit. I mean, is it credit or is it disappointment that they're finding ways to win some of these games? And they did this with Mike Budenholzer. You remember when Mike Budenholzer was last year when they were beating the Celtics and I think it was OKC down the stretch? Like all these teams, and they literally had like G League level roster that they were playing with those last few. And they were still beating all these good teams, out there. So I guess credit to the Hawks for what they're doing, for finding a way. And I don't know, maybe it's something about the Eastern Conference of the NBA that's just not very good. All right, when we get back, Jason Cole going to join us, editor of fansided.com. We'll get his thoughts on both conference title games. It's all next. Chuck Reed with you solo in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Became The Game.
Back in the Kia Studio, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Or as we also are known as our corporately mandated, your home for Super Bowl 53 in the ATL. Make sure we keep a log of how many times I say that as our corporate imaging for all of this stuff. NFC, AFC title games, as we said, are going to take place tomorrow. Obviously setting up for the Super Bowl here in Atlanta. Out to the WadeFord.com hotline we go. Jason Cole joining us there, editor-in-chief for fansided.com. You can check out Jason on Twitter. He is at JasonCole62. Jason, thanks for the time, buddy. Thanks for jumping on with us this morning.
No problem. What's going on?
Not much. Let's start in the NFC, where obviously Falcons fans here invested in this game because the last thing we want is 2 weeks of Saints people in our town to have the Super Bowl. I can assure you, it's been talk around here. Just that's the last thing we want to see. How much of this game tomorrow in the NFC is the Rams being able to run the football like they did last week against Dallas and doing everything to keep Drew Brees and that offense off the field?
Well, I think it's a major part of it. It's not as quite as significant as somebody said, and I'll explain in a second. Look, you want to impose your will on somebody, especially in their place. I mean, this is, you know, time-honored tradition in the NFL. But if you can run the ball and quiet the home crowd, you've done, you know, a lot of damage that way. I think that when it comes to the Saints, however, I'm not as worried about keeping them under control from a scoring perspective, because I think their offense is a lot different than the one that scored 45 against the Rams. I also think that the Rams, with Aqib Talib, are better suited to stop what New Orleans does. So I expect this game to be played maybe in the 20s, you know, low 20s perhaps, you know, like 23-20 game. I think a very similar game to what we saw between Philadelphia and New Orleans last week.
Jason, I'm not always the biggest believer in the NFL that home field can make a difference or an advantage, but it is hard to deny what the mojo is for that Saints team when that building starts going and gets it rocking. And believe me, as a Falcons fan, we've seen plenty of moments where you think you're in it, then all of a sudden one play and the tide turns and the crowd's into it. And certainly Philadelphia took the crowd out early, but, you know, and the Saints are obviously a very good team. But there is something, it seems like, with the Saints playing in that building that there is a real advantage.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's actually tangible, because what happens to teams is you can't hear. So in this game especially, with all the feedback that's going to go over Sean McVay's headset and into Jared Goff's ears when he does so much talking, even when Goff gets the line of scrimmage, there's a huge there's a huge advantage here for New Orleans because of that very crowd noise that you're talking about. So to me, I don't think it's a mojo thing as much as it's a direct interference issue with what they're trying to accomplish. So yeah, that's a distinct advantage in that place, because it does. I mean, that's one of the loudest places. Kansas City is certainly loud too. Seattle is too, because of the construction of the stadium. But New Orleans is right there.
Jason Cole, editor-in-chief for fansided.com, joining us on the waitfor.com hotline as we talk about the AFC and NFC title games. Do you think that it's a matter of, Jason, you know, I think the Rams did a really good job with Jared Goff last week. Just obviously they were able to, as you said, impose their will on Dallas, but not asking Goff to make too many throws, not have to really put the pressure on him. How much do you think that still is kind of the thought about this Rams offense going into this week?
Well, I think it's two parts. Number one, again, imposing your will is critical. I think the other part of this is that with Goff, you know, in the last four or five games of the season, people started to get to him. And I think that's a combination of people putting pressure on him, hitting him, which he doesn't like, and the loss of Cooper Kupp. Now, on the first part of that, I'll give Goff a lot of credit, because early in that game against Dallas, Jalen Smith took him to the ground and took him to the ground hard. He managed to hang tough through that and didn't get rattled by it. So I give him a lot of credit for that. That's some progress for Jared Goff. But look, we're not talking about a really big guy. I mean, he's a very slightly built, narrow-shouldered guy, narrow-hipped guy. He's never gonna look like Phil Simms. He's never that big in the pocket presence, nor like Doug Williams or, you know, Cam Newton. He's just not that guy. So pressure is gonna get to him eventually. So you gotta keep it coming. If I'm New Orleans, every time he steps back there, I'm trying to get around him. I'm trying to hit him. I'm trying to make sure he feels our presence every moment.
Jason, what's been the difference of the Saints' offense these last several weeks? I mean, obviously rolling along early in the year, but you know it's been a little bit more fight and scratch and clawing over the last several weeks. What's been the difference for that group?
Well, I think that people have said, look, we're not going to let Michael Thomas just run free through us, okay? And I think there was a little too much respect paid to the other receivers early in the season. And, yeah, they came through with some games. But over time, you're sitting there going, look, I'm not going to let, you know, Am I going to get beat by Michael Thomas, or am I going to get beat by a guy like Kirkwood or Ginn or the kid who's going to play in Kirkwood's place tomorrow? I can't remember the kid's name at the moment. I'm going to get, you know, make those other guys beat me. Don't make Michael Thomas beat me. Now, Michael Thomas is still going to get his, and we've seen that. He's gifted. But don't let him control a game. I mean, we're gonna double him and even bring a third guy around him as much as humanly possible, and we'll single up the other guys and live with the results. That's what I think we've seen. And that combination with the Saints offensive line. They've got three guys on the injury report, and Teron Armstead was banged up with, I think it was a biceps injury or triceps injury. You know, in the second half of the season. So their offensive line has gone backwards a little bit. And anytime you're able to get any kind of pressure on Drew Brees, especially from the front, that's going to hinder their offense in a significant way.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Chuckery in the Kia Studios. We're on the WadeFord.com hotline. Editor-in-Chief for Fansided.com, Jason Cole, joining us here as we flip over to the AFC. How much has the improvement of weather conditions maybe swung the pendulum at all a little bit better toward Kansas City?
Well, I just think Kansas City's got a better team. Like, if you're Bill Belichick and you're looking at the two rosters, which one do you pick that you'd want to coach? I mean, I got to think it's Kansas City. Now, that doesn't mean that the Patriots haven't won plenty of games when they've been outmanned. I mean, they won last week. I mean, Chargers have a better team than them. Unfortunately, Anthony Lynn and the Chargers played a very passive game plan, especially on defense. So that was disappointing, and that allowed the Patriots to control the game. So if I'm coming out of this and you tell me the Patriots win, I'm not shocked or surprised. But if this is just a matchup, you know, where talent is, you know, the critical element, I'm taking the Chiefs in this game. And, yeah, Tom Brady has an amazing resume. He's a great player. I mean, we're not going to deny any of that. Julian Edelman's good. Maybe Gronkowski comes back and makes a couple of plays. But Kelsey's a better player right now than Gronkowski. Tyreek is a better player and more impactful than Julian Edelman. Pat Mahomes just had 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards. He's not a schlub. He's not Tom Brady, but he's not, you know, he's awfully talented. He can get a lot done. And you got Watkins and Conley and a good offensive line going down the line. Then on the flip side, defensively, you know, the Chiefs bring three really good pass rushers in Ford, Jones, and Houston. So that's a really, really good combination of guys where you sit there and say, I'll take that. And yeah, they got some problems on the back end of their defense, but I like the talent that I get to work with, the guys who are game changers.
Do you think that Bill Belichick's got some unique things defensively that he's going to try to dial up to frustrate Mahomes tomorrow? Maybe more blitzes, some things that maybe he hasn't, you know, seen. I mean, this seems like the kind of game where this is what Belichick relishes, is this chance to take one of these really, you know, top-level quarterbacks and a guy who's put up massive numbers and come up with a way to completely stymie him.
Well, that's always – that's been Belichick's calling card, but he's usually had better talent to do it with. I mean, like, you know, everybody talks about that stuff, but, you know, back in the early 2000s, they had a team that had Vrabel, Brisky, Ty Law, Willie McGinnis. They eventually added Vince Wilfork to that. You know, Rodney Harrison as well. Those guys had game-changing ability, right? I don't think he has a lot of guys like that. I mean, McCourty's a nice player at safety. Gilmore's a nice player at corner. Those guys are well-paid. They're really good in the red zone, and they force you to trade, you know, field goals for touchdowns, right? Or touchdowns for field goals, however you want to make that equation. They force you to settle for field goals a lot of the time, which is the great advantage to the Patriots. But if you're looking for a team that will come out and come with a big pass rush or run some overload blitzes or do some of the exotic things that he did when he was with the Giants as a defensive coordinator, with the Jets as a defensive coordinator, when he was in Cleveland and had guys like Eric Turner, I just don't see that happening in this game. I see them, you know, doing some fairly traditional things where you try and double team Tyreek Hill in certain situations and double team Travis Kelce in certain situations. And again, make the Chiefs win with their third and fourth receivers. That's pretty normal and pretty traditional. But I don't see any guys who change the X's and O's or are smart either with their physical ability or their mental ability. So I don't think Belichick has that kind of stuff up his sleeve to really confuse Mahomes a lot. I mean, he'll play a lot of soft zone and force him to read. Outside of that, you know, there's just not the physical ability.
Jason, only got 30 seconds left, so give me who you've got for tomorrow and who's going to be here in Atlanta playing in the Super Bowl.
Rams and Chiefs. I'm going to save you guys from that, you know, that dreaded NOLA invasion.
From your lips to God's ears, Jason. I mean,
yeah, it'll be the LA invasion. So a lot, and I won't even say it because I'm a Los Angeles resident, but or native at least.
Well,
and I just like those two teams a lot.
Yeah, no, I understand, and trust me, with the Todd Gurley factor here in town, the big fan rooting base for the Rams. Anyway, check him out on Twitter at Jason Cole 62, editor in chief for fansided.com. Join us on the waitfor.com hotline. As always, Jason, appreciate the time, buddy. Thanks again, and have fun watching the games tomorrow.
I will. I appreciate it. Thanks.
You got it. There you go. All right. And when we get back, we will be commenting on what Jason had to say, and I'll give my thoughts and perspective on the two conference title games as well tomorrow. I do think that the weather in Kansas City is making a difference. I think a guy like Pat Mahomes, you know, guy used to playing on turf and in Texas and things like that, I think it's a definite difference. So we'll find out if I'm in trouble too during the break. So we'll be back. Sports Radio 910 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Shepard back in the Kia Studios.
All the leaves are brown, the leaves are brown.
Oh, I'm California dreaming. I'm Florida dreaming, actually.
And the sky is gray.
Yeah, it's gray skies, raining, miserable. But hey, we got hot spirits and good music to get you lifted up. Tomorrow we're going to be rocking it out, by the way, too. Tomorrow's music theme has got one very good birthday. Always a music theme on the show because we will get to that right before the top of the hour, even without Randy Mack, who's out riding scooters out in California somewhere, trying not to face plant on the road like the dude did out here last weekend. 404-741-0929 is our phone line if you want to interact with the show. So we just got done talking to Jason Cole from Fansided about the two conference title games. And as we talked about at the start of the show, about the angst as Falcons fans. So, you know, in looking at the two games starting in the AFC tomorrow, I do believe, I may disagree slightly a little bit with Jason on a couple of things. One is I do think that weather is a big difference. I think having a guy like Pat Mahomes playing in, you know, at least moderate types of temperatures versus there were some reports earlier in the week, even last weekend, that said there could be negative temperatures. That is a big difference. And yes, I understand everybody kind of plays in that. But if you're talking about who do you trust in an environment that's going to be completely off kilter, there's no question that it's Tom Brady. I mean, as good as Mahomes has been, you still have a hard time betting against Tom Brady. Then you add in any sort of distraction, whether it's weather or what have you, you still have to go with Brady in that case. So I think the fact that the weather is going to be at least moderate definitely helps the Kansas City Chiefs and definitely maybe puts Pat Mahomes in at least a more comfortable type of position to be in, to be able to want to throw it around and do what he does best. So I think that is a key. The other thing is, too, is that while I understand what Jason was saying about this is not the most talented Patriots defense and this, that, and the other, you would be hard-pressed to say that Bill Belichick isn't the best defense coordinator in the history of the NFL. And I'm being serious when I say right now he's the best DC in the NFL. He may not be the DC, but he's the best defense coordinator in the league, maybe the best of all time. What he knows how to do is how to scheme you into making you feel uncomfortable, not being able to play within your game. So while he may not have the personnel to be able to do some of the basic things that he always wants to do and do some things that would, you know, kind of maybe naturally come easy, I do think that he's going to have a plan, whether that's blitzing, whether that's doing some things to really try to confuse Pat Mahomes. I don't know if the moment is too big. I mean, that's obviously the question that both Goff and Mahomes have is the moment. But I do think that you also have to factor in the Andy Reid and Bill Belichick factor. You know, I think, am I right? Andy Reid has never beaten Bill Belichick. That sound right, Mr. Fantasy Guy? I think I'm pretty close on that, that Belichick has never lost to Andy Reid before. So I do think that there is a factor of, can Andy Reid keep up with the adjustments that the Patriots are going to have? You know, if nothing else, the Patriots have always proved that no matter what group of guys they trot out, whether they're more talented, less talented, whatever, they can always scheme their way. And this is where, if I want to tie it back into the Falcons, this is where my frustration gets. You know, they don't, there's no question that the Patriots don't have the best roster. But first of all, they do have the best coach and best quarterback in the NFL. They do. Tom Brady is still the best quarterback of all time. He's still the best quarterback because you trust him more than anybody. That's why he's here for the 13th time. That's why he's playing in another one of these title games, is because he has been so good. So the fact that they can start with that, but they can win lots of games by out-scheming and out-maneuvering you coaching-wise. They can do that. We talk about that here in Atlanta. We can out-talent people. You know, we can out-personnel a lot of teams, and we do have a lot of personnel, but we don't get that advantage on Sunday of we out-schemed you, we made adjustments, we out-coached you, we were better than you with 2 minutes and 4 minutes, we were better at clock management, we were better with our timeouts, we were better. We don't have that advantage. The Patriots do. Do you see anything about it, Brian?
Yeah, Andy Reid, 2-6 against Bill Belichick.
Okay.
He never beat him in Philly. He's 2-2 against him in Kansas City.
Okay, so he's 2-6 all time in the 8 matchup. So still not a very good winning percentage there, being 2-6. And obviously one of those was a Super Bowl matchup when the Eagles with our own Hugh Douglas was in the Super Bowl, the Terrell Owens Super Bowl that the Patriots ended up winning. So I do think that there is a big advantage about what Bill Belichick can do. And he relishes these kinds of moments to be able to try to scheme, try to outmaneuver what the other guy is doing. I think he lives. This to me is where Belichick always gets to be his best, is when you get into these big moments and in the way he can figure out ways to match up. So, you know, in the AFC title game, I'm going to go with the Patriots in it, because it's just hard for me to bet against the Patriots. Are they the better team? No. Are they the more talented team? No. But they have the best coach and they have the best quarterback. And I know what Mahomes has done. He's going to be the MVP. But I'm talking body of work. There's no comparison between what these two guys are and in this moment of the NFL. So until they get beat consistently in these games, I'm taking the Patriots. And it would be very funny to see them in the Super Bowl, just from the standpoint of people really want to believe after last year's loss and, you know, well, they had the most regular season losses they've had. And so it doesn't matter. When they've got the coach and the quarterback, man, I tell you guys all the time, you start with those two things. You got the guy under center, man. Your life in the NFL is drastically different. You can be in the mix for a lot of things. I promise you, if it was Tyrod Taylor, quarterback in the Falcons this year, they wouldn't have been 7-9. Now, maybe some people would have liked that because they might have been, you know, more of a 4-12, 3-13 type of team and had a better draft pick. But because you have a Matt Ryan, you have the ability to win lots of games. And truthfully, the Falcons had several games they should have won that weren't because of what Matt Ryan didn't do. Now, flipping over to the NFC, this is where it always gets to be one of those situations where what is your heart versus what your head tell you? I do think that there is a distinct advantage that the Saints have at home. And I've been saying for months, and whether it was on Wade Ford or it was Randy and I or what have you, I don't think the Saints lose in that building come playoff time. I don't think that the Saints are going to lose in this building. And I know, is it Sheldon Rankins? Is that the guy that's out for New Orleans? Yeah, no question that's going to hurt in the run game, and that's somebody that the Saints definitely need. But I think the Saints showed you their resiliency last week. Now, the good news for the Rams is that they have the firepower that if they get up in a game like this, they have much more of ability than what the Eagles do to put your foot on the throat and finish off the New Orleans Saints. But the Saints have a way of just not allowing themselves to get rattled and get frazzled. And again, that starts with the quarterback. And I think Sean Payton is the best play caller in the NFL. I think if you got offensive scheme, again, we don't – it'll be interesting to see what Sean – you know, last week was pretty cut and dry for Sean McVay. The Rams imposed their will on the Cowboys. They lined up and they mashed them and they ran right at them. And both running backs, C.J. Anderson, Todd Gurley, over 100 yards in that game. You know, that's a pretty straightforward deal. Jared Goff was not asked to have to make a lot of big throws and do a lot of big things to try to bring that team back. They were able to impose their will and control the clock and control the line of scrimmage. So that makes it pretty cut and dry. This week, I think, is different. You know, this week is where we find out about Sean McVay, I think, as well. Because I can guarantee you that I know Sean Payton is going to have a lot dialed up, and he's going to be a guy that can out-scheme you, and he's going to come up with a lot of offensive plays because they find a way, as talented as the Rams are on defense, Saints always find a way to get guys open. They find a way, they scheme their way into plays that get guys open. And I think this is where you really get a test of how good that Rams secondary is with Aqib Talib, with Marcus Peters, these guys that, you know, are we're going to find out, you know, how elite that they are. Yeah, I think the Saints will have some struggles running the football, but they have a quarterback that can absolutely control the game without running the football. Drew Brees, like Tom Brady, can control the game without having one facet of it going his way. I hate to say it, I think it's going to be Patriots and Saints in the Super Bowl. Right, that's my two picks. All right, always a music theme on the show. You might have a little bit of a clue already. We'll give it to you next. John Chuckery on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Oh, man, this is so my song, man. This is my song right here. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Brown Liquor Music right here, baby. John Chuckery in the Kia Studios with you. Always a music theme.
These are the eyes that never knew how to smile till you came into my life.
Ah, so good. So today's music theme, born today, 1943, Janis Joplin. Another one of those artists that folksy kind of left us too early. Never was a big Janis Joplin person, but she was very popular back in the day. You know, famously had sex with Joe Namath. You know, it was one of those things. Also born today, 1946, the great Dolly Parton. Born today, 1949. Just the game I play when I want to say I love you. Robert Palmer born today, 1949. He's been dead for 12 years. How's that possible that he's been dead for 12 years? Lots of good stuff from Robert Palmer, plus some Power Stations. That's some good 80s songs right there. Karen Wheeler, the lead singer of Soul to Soul, born today, 1963. A couple of deaths on this day. Wilson Pickett died today, one of the great early kind of R&B soul singers, died today, 2006. And Denny Doherty, who was the lead singer for the Mamas and the Papas, died today in 2007. And on this day, number one on this day, I don't remember what year this is, 75, somewhere around in that range. Oh, show and tell. The great Al Wilson, man. This song hit number one, Show and Tell. 74, 75, I can't remember what, let's see what that is. Show and Tell, Al Wilson.
Recorded in 73.
Wow, 1973, huh? So I was off by a year or two. Yeah, released in 73, wow. Man, oh man, this is such good music, so. I don't even know if he's still with us or not, Al Wilson. When we get back, though, Falcons have about $20 million, $21 million to spend before they make any cuts. Where should that money go? We'll talk about that next. John Chuckery, listen to some Brown Liquor Music. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.